Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The death of Jesus on a Roman cross is the turning point of history. That act of obedience to the Father made possible the salvation of all who believe on His Son. Jesus said, "There is no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends." From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the mysteries of God. When Jesus paid the price for our sins, a great mystery was laid bare. Now, join us for The Death of God.
My topic today is the death of God. Most of you were far too young to remember that back in 1966, Time magazine's cover article was, "Is God Dead?" There were some theologians who thought that it was time to move past the existence of God and choose a different kind of worldview. Actually, their ideas were not new. In Germany, Friedrich Nietzsche, who died in the year 1900, proclaimed the death of God. You should read his parable of the madman, who notices that the smell of grave diggers is around. "And we have killed him, and how shall we, the murderers of all murderers, cleanse ourselves? God died under our knives, and who will wipe the blood from our hands?" Very interesting. If there is no God, there's no one to say to us, "You're forgiven." With what water can we cleanse ourselves? What are our churches now but tombs of God? Said Nietzsche. Many years ago, I saw a t-shirt that said on one side, "God is dead," signed Nietzsche. On the other side, at the back, it said, "Nietzsche is dead," signed God. It should come as no surprise that God has outlived Nietzsche. God is alive and well. But it's not this kind of death that I'm speaking about today. I'm speaking about a different kind of death of God. I was in a university, invited there by a member of our church, and there were five or six other members of various faiths and religions. And there was an imam there representing the Islamic faith, and he said to me, "Do you believe that Jesus is God?" And I said, "Yes." "And Jesus died on the cross?" "Yes." "So your God died," he said. That's the question we're going to answer today. You know, we have a song that we love to sing, and it is entitled, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in My Savior's Blood?" And the chorus goes, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" And there are some churches that don't sing it because they're troubled by that phrase, "that thou, my God, shouldst die for me." Well, the goal of this message today is to say that this is a song we should sing, and this is a song we're going to sing, and we could sing it with integrity. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm going to be referring to this passage, but also others, because we have some very interesting territory to cover today. You'll notice in the second chapter, and I'm beginning in verse 14, "Since therefore children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." The fear of death can subject you certainly to slavery. "For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Let me give you my outline today in advance. First of all, we're going to speak briefly about the person of Christ, the mission of Christ, and then the death of Christ, and see whether or not we have an answer to the song that thou, my God, shouldst die for me. This is part of a series on the mysteries of God. And we can't understand and probe these mysteries completely, but we can approach them using biblical data. We can come to certain conclusions that should bless us and enable us to worship better and to love God more. First of all, the person of Jesus. Who is Jesus? In John chapter 1, we read that Jesus is the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. Without him, nothing was created that was created. He is God of very God. In the book of Hebrews, we read in chapter 1, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Speaking about Jesus, it goes on to talk about how he made atonement for our sins. He is the eternal Son, as we noticed last time in our message on the Trinity. What happened at Bethlehem was that this infinite eternal Son was now joined to finite human nature. That's what happened in the womb of Mary. And so what you have is this eternal Son taking on flesh in such a way that Jesus became the God-man. On the one hand, he was man. Look at him there as he is on the well, weary with his journey, sleeping, needing to sleep, needing to eat. On the other hand, he stands and he says, before Abraham was, I am, and tells people that their eternal destiny is dependent upon their relationship with him. He is the God-man. Theologians throughout the centuries wrestled with this, and they concluded that the divine nature and the human nature were brought together but not fused. They remain distinct, but in one person. Jesus is not schizophrenic. He's one person, but he's both God and man. Could Jesus have sinned? No, I don't think so. Because you see, even though he was a man, his humanity was so joined to the deity that he could not have sinned as a man without implicating his divine nature, which was incapable of sin. Maybe an illustration would help. You can easily bend a wire, but if that wire is welded to a steel bar, then you can't bend the wire. He is God and man. Now, what about his mission? He came to the earth to redeem us. In a book written by Bruce Ware, he talks about this question and then he answers it, and he answers it correctly. Why couldn't God have just created a perfect human being, perfect sinless human being, and have him die on the cross for our sins? Well, the answer to that is no human being could pay the eternal debt that we owe God. Have you ever asked yourself the question of why hell is eternal? It's because as unbelievers, we are, if we were unbelievers, we would be guilty forever because in hell, no one ever says regarding his suffering, it is finished. Because it never is. You are eternally guilty. No human being can do that. No human being can atone for us as humans. We need an infinite being to pay an infinite price so we could be redeemed. And if that was going to happen, God is the one who is going to have to do it. Look at what the text says here. Jesus did as a result of his sacrifice. You'll notice it says he destroyed the work of the devil. The power of death, that is the devil. Now, the devil is still out on bond, but his sentence has been commuted and his end is sure. And also, you'll notice now, we're in verse 17, he made propitiation for the people. That is to say that he made an atoning sacrifice to avert wrath against us, and he could only do that as the God-man. Let me be clear. He had to become one of us in order to redeem us, to identify with us and to redeem us. And furthermore, you can't take a spirit and nail that spirit to a cross. There had to be flesh. There had to be blood. There had to be sacrifice. So he became one of us. Could Satan ever be redeemed? The answer is no, because it even says here, he took not upon himself the nature of angels, or he doesn't help angels. He becomes like the seed of Abraham. When Jesus died on the cross, there was an atonement made for all who would believe on him, but angels, fallen angels, Satan, was not included in that atonement. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," and he had suffered, he suffered an eternal death and hell to meet all of the requirements that you could possibly have for sinners, horrible sinners, to be right with God. He suffered that. For the first 3 hours on the cross, he suffered under the hands of men. The last 3 hours, he suffered under the hands of God. And during that suffering, he bore an eternal hell so that you and I could be redeemed. No wonder the last 3 hours were in darkness. Darkness covered the earth. That's why the hymn writer said, "Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut its glories in when Christ, the great Redeemer, died for man, the creature's sin." My friend, if you've been listening to Running to Win for any length of time, you know that the center of it all, ultimately, is Jesus. We want to exalt him in such a way that people come to believe in him, that he is honored, because, as you frequently have heard me say, really, we must believe that nothing else matters except the glory of God. And when we exalt Jesus, God is glorified. You know, if this ministry has been a blessing to you, I want to emphasize that we can't do it alone. We are so glad for our ministry partners and for the many people who pray for us. They give regularly. Would you like to become a part of the Running to Win family? Here's what you can do. You can go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com, and click on Endurance Partners. And there you'll receive all the information you need, how you can become someone who stands with us regularly, who prays for us, and indeed you do join the family. Or here's a number, 1-800-215-5001. I'll give it to you again, 1-800-215-5001. Thanks in advance for joining the family.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Death of God, another message on the mysteries of God. Next time, how God the Father felt the pain his Son was enduring on the cross, knowing he was paying the price for mankind's sins. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.